Gardening tips on Basingstoke Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
It's Tuesday with me, Dave, on Basingstoke Radio Community Connections. And on the line is this week is for Claire, the garden editor. Morning to you, Claire. You all right?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I am fine, thank you. Yourself?
I'm keeping well. It's still very dry, isn't it? Still very hot. Though I'll tell you a bit later about somewhere I'm going, which is very not hot and dry. I'm pretty much living on in shorts and t-shirts, wondering when I might ever wear a jumper again in my life.
That's right.
Just standard things. How about you?
Have you packed your jeans in that way?
I don't know where even trousers are these days. You know, it's just like it's a whole other. There's apparently I've got work fleeces and stuff
Have
somewhere,
you?
but you know,
Wow.
yeah.
See, I reckon
But
as a gardener, I reckon you must wear dungarees.
I do have
Do you?
dungarees. I have
All
shorts.
right.
Yeah,
See,
I have shorts.
I can't wear dungarees. I look silly in that. I feel like I should have a one of them, like a paintbrush in the top pocket or something. I don't know.
I looked silly, Dave, but I don't really care anymore. I also wear overalls, you know, like kind of flying overalls. They're really good, particularly for the winter. But no, at the moment, I'm living in shorts or short dungarees. Whatever I can get away with, because obviously as gardeners, we're working quite often with prickly plants or plants
Yeah.
which will cause you a rash. So you have to be quite careful and you know, and cover up and
Yeah,
avoid
that's
the
right.
sun, but obviously not be too hot.
Well, you never know.
But just
Versace might clock you in them. You never know, do you? They might make a designer pair or something with some
what's it called?
bit of bling on it. That's what you need.
Yeah, well, they call it cottage core, don't they?
Do they?
Anyway, well, listen, thanks to you, we've had some wonderful questions in from our
We've had
lovely,
some good
fantastic
questions.
listeners.
We've had some great
Thank you so
questions.
much for, yes, and you know, nice and varied. And that's what I always like about your questions. They always make me think. So we've got five in total, Dave. So we've got Mary, Tiff, Mark and Jackie, Jane, and Bobby. So should we start with Bobby, who's
Let's
just
do.
moved in?
Go on in. Let's do that.
Yeah. Bobby, you've moved into a new build in Rookdown. And Bobby says the soil is basically pure chalk with a tiny layer of turf on top. Oh, Bobby, I really feel for you. My hydrangeas and camellias look miserable and yellow. Is there any way to fix this soil, or am I stuck growing in pots forever? Well, Bobby, first of all, congratulations on the move. Secondly, it's a very common problem we find with new builds is the inside of the house is lovely. The outside is very, very rough and terrible soil and really thin lawn on top, which might well, just die back in this weather. If you like hydrangeas and camellias, they tend to grow on acid soil. And if you're on growing on chalk, that is alkaline soil. So you've got a contrast here between the plants you want to grow and the ground you are now living on. So a couple of things you can do. If you really, really love camellias, you can grow them in very large pots, and you'll need something called ericaceous soil, which is acid-loving soil, to keep them that way. The reason why they're going yellow at present is they can't access all the minerals and nutrients they need. Hydrangeas, some hydrangeas can cope with this soil, but they'll turn a different color. They will go pink or blue, or blue or pink. I can quite often never remember which, but it won't be the color you want. You can improve the soil. A lot of the work I do is with people with new builds, slight plug there, but a lot of it is about improving that organic matter, and over time adding in mulch, adding in organic matter will improve the depth and the friability of your soil, so it's not just that really, really thin chalky layer. And there are a lot of plants you can plant which thrive on alkaline soil, like cherries, like lilacs, like crab apples are all absolutely fine. But the acid-loving ones are probably best kept in pots. Or my top tip is pay for an annual trip to somewhere gorgeous with those plants and go and have a look around and have a cheese scone. That's a much better way than trying to stop yourself from being very sad trying to grow those plants in your garden when your soil is fundamentally not compatible with those. So I hope that helps, Bobby. Don't give up. There is hope, but it does take a bit of time to improve that soil.
I was more interested in the cheese scones then, actually.
It
My ears
is
pricked up
true.
then.
Yeah, we often think, oh, let's try and grow everything, but do you know what? A lot of it is actually, it's like I'm nearly 6 foot. It's like me trying to try on a dress which is suitable for someone who's 4 foot. It's just not going to work. And it's much better to go and appreciate someone else's artwork of looking after rhododendrons and camellias rather than thinking, oh, I should try and grow them myself. I know we all have a lot of emotional connection to plants, but sometimes you can get a lot more happiness going and seeing there and then having that lovely cheese scone or slice of the cake afterwards in the
There you
tea
go,
shop.
Bobby. Hopefully that will help you and on your new move. So well done to that. Who are we going for next then, Claire?
Let's go over to Chinham and let's go to Tiff in Chinham.
Tiff. Tiff is
Tiff,
short
well,
for
thanks for your question.
Tiffany, I would have thought. Hi,
I
Tiffany.
assume so. Hiya, Tiffany. Living near the woodland in Chinham, the muntjac deer and the wood pigeons have absolutely destroyed my veg patch. What native-friendly physical barriers or plants can I use to stop them eating all my cabbages and hostas? Well, Tiff, this has been a really bad year for what I call deer predation, which is where deer come and eat your stuff from the gardens. And I think it's because we're in drought. So any plant material with any kind of water content at all is being absolutely eaten by lots of deer. For instance, roses are basically like sweeties to them, but we're seeing lots of plants, for instance, your cabbages and your hostas are just being eaten because the deer are just really thirsty. They're desperate for any water content. But I absolutely hear you. It's really, really depressing, isn't it? Now, if we're trying to deal with deer and wood pigeons, we need to think about protection from the sides and the top of your veg patch. So this pretty much rules out trying to grow plants because you can't have a plant which is going to go over your veg patch to stop the pigeons flying in. Otherwise, you won't have any sun there, and that's not very good for your veggies. So I think what I'd suggest, Tiff, is a combination is I would get yourself some nice willow sticks. You can coppice them from the woodland and put them in the corners of your veg patch. And then I'd put some netting over the whole of the veg patch. Now, keep it nice and tight because that will stop pigeons getting their feet tangled in them. You want to basically have it as a very strong, sturdy cage so the
Like
deer
a
can't get at the
trampoline.
sides. Yes, indeed, indeed. You know, I
Excellent.
don't really want to think about the pigeons being on a trampoline, but we're basically going to have to go for caging. The more expensive option is to go for a kind of formal wire caging. That's sometimes people invest in that. But if you want a bit more of a rustic look, coppiced hazel and jute twine stretched nice and tautly around it should hopefully protect your precious crops from the deer and the wood pigeons. And so I hope that helps, Tiff. And let us know how you get on.
Yeah, another good bit of advice. I wouldn't have thought about that. I would have thought you would just buy some sort of, like say, pre-made sort of mesh thing. You just dump over the top of it, really.
And you can get the pre-fade mesh, but a lot of it is, you know, it's got lots of microplastics in, and over
All
time
right,
it gets teared and it goes into the soil. And you know, particularly if you're eating stuff, you don't really want to be munching on bits of plastic, do you?
No. Okay, next one then. Who are
Lovely.
we going for now?
Okay,
I'm sorry I'm
let's get.
rushing you along, but
No, that's
we have got a
fine.
time limit, haven't we? And
We
we don't.
do, and we have so many questions, don't we? So Jane Catherine on Facebook also asked us a question. Jane, thank you for your message. Please let us know your clever ways to water without a hose pipe when your water butt runs dry, or what how would you do when it's dry and you're away from home? Well, this is a great question, Jane. And quite often, those of us with water butts are now finding they're completely dry. So my basic tip is any water that comes out of a tap in your house has got a past and a present. So once you've used that water, you can put it down the drain or you can put it on your garden. And this is where grey watering, like keeping that water from the washing up liquid, or as I've said many times before, the bucket of doom in the shower, put the bucket in the shower, get rid of the cold water, and then once you step in, you can move the bucket away. Any water you can safeguard from your house is free water for you to reuse. Some people get very concerned about chemicals in washing up water. What I would say is this is absolutely fine for ornamentals or for things you're going to eat, but you're going to cook, like potatoes, but I wouldn't be using on things like lettuces or radishes and things you're going to eat raw. I would also suggest as well getting, if you can, any kind of drip tap is a good way of doing it. So if you have little old Coke bottles or any other fizzy beverage, turn them upside down, cut the bottom off, unscrew the bottom a bit, and just plonk it right by your plants in the borders. Put some water in, and then slowly that water will drip out and seep out down into the root zone there.
That's a clever
That
idea.
That's an
I've never
efficient
thought of that
way.
before.
Yeah.
That's a really
Well,
clever idea there.
thank you. Well, you remember we used to do it with tomatoes back in the 80s, and you know, there's a very you can get very posh terracotta pots, but you can also just use a plastic bottle, or a milk bottle or anything like that, and just bury it beside your kind of prized plants which need that extra bit of water, and then you just need to top that up, and then gravity will do the rest. If you're heading on holidays, group all your pot plants together somewhere, and I put all of mine out of sight in a shady corner. And quite often, I just dump them all in a bucket and fill the bucket with water. So it basically means they're kind of a bit in the wet soil for a couple of days. That at least means they're going to prevent from being dried out completely. They might get a bit waterlogged, but to be honest, most plants can cope with a bit of a drenching if you've got things in pots. So I hope that starts to help, Jane. You asked us also about other plants which can cope well with drought, but maybe we'll do that as a separate topic another day. Mary from Old Basing. Let's go to Mary
Hiya,
from Old
Mary.
Basing. And Mary's got an interesting, so this is what's lovely about everyone who listens in. Our garden in Old Basing sits on heavy clay. So unlike Bobby, who's in chalk, Mary's on heavy clay. It shows you just how much our soil changes in our area. Our garden is a waterlogged bog all winter, but bakes into solid concrete in July. What's the best organic matter to dig in to fix the drainage without breaking my back? Mary, you're a woman after my own heart. We don't like doing things if we don't have to. I'm all about the no faff, less work gardening if possible. So, Mary, what you're going to want to do is clay is a beautiful soil. It's very nutritious, but its particles are far too tightly packed, which means that's why we turn into the concrete in the summer. So, what we're going to want to do is break up those particles by introducing organic matter. And the best way to use this is horse manure. Horse manure is brilliant because it's full of that organic matter. And what happens is all the earthworms come up through the clay in the autumn, go up into the horse manure, eat the poo, and then take it down again. And the earthworms basically are like little fork holes up and down in your soil all winter long, taking that matter down. And they do all the digging in for you. So you're not going to have to break your back. Horse manure is best about 6 months old. So it's not smelly and fresh, but a bit kind of decomposed. And you're just going to want to put it on your borders in autumn and literally let nature do the rest of the work. If you do that over a couple of years, you'll find that your cracks of concrete get less and less over every single summer, and you also get less water logging in the winter. So it's not an immediate fix, but it really does help improve your soil in a really low effort way. It's much cheaper to have a friend with a horse than having a horse yourself. That's the only other thing,
Yeah.
a bit of advice I would give you.
And
There's
also,
plenty of stables nearby.
yeah, I bet Mary's a soil at a minute. I bet it's like having a patio there a minute because we've had heat, haven't we, for the last, what, 4 weeks, I think.
Yeah, indeed. I can't remember. I think it's been about 50 days that we've not had any real precipitation around here at all, have we? So yeah, I imagine it looks like the surface of the moon. So you have my full sympathies, but there is ways to improve it, but it does take a bit of time, but hopefully not too much effort, Mary. So I hope that helps.
Okay, now we've
Lovely.
got one more question, have we?
One more question,
Okay,
and
go on
this
then.
is Mark and Jackie in South Ham. And
Hiya,
Mark and
Mark,
Jackie
Jackie.
say, our lawn is taking a beating. The shade from the mature trees means it's mostly moss, and the autumn rains always flood the back corner. Should I scarify it or just give up and plant a shade-tolerant ground cover instead? Mark, Jackie, great question. Quite often people think moss is the problem. Moss is a symptom rather than a problem in and of itself. It means that soil is very compacted, and it means therefore the grass isn't growing because it's very shady. The roots of the grass are giving up. That means there's bare patches and moss is colonizing it. My suggestion is if you have lots of shade from mature trees, is exactly what you say, is don't try and have a lovely lawn there. You can get some shade tolerant grasses, but they are very hit and miss. You'll be much better off just going for a shade tolerant ground cover. So go for hostas, go for lamiums. Ferns love being flooded in winter, so there's some really good ferns you can use for those type of things, and you can just have a very different look rather than having what I call sad half moss half lawn approach. So I would go for that, Mark and Jackie. Much less work, no scarification needed, and just dig in some little plug plants in this autumn, and that should get you going.
Look at that, some great information there. And not too much work, I like to add as well, in this heat.
Yeah, cheese scones and horse manure, basically.
I think it was the horse manure that put me off my cheese scones after that. Anyway,
Indeed.
that's it for this week, isn't it, really? Apart from you are coming back in a couple of weeks, but a little birdie told me that you're off on a bit of a trek on
I
Wednesday,
am
aren't you? Where
indeed.
are
I
you
am
going?
indeed.
Tell
Well, I'm
us
going
what you're doing.
somewhere where it might well be quite waterlogged and quite foggy. I am going to be climbing Ben Nevis.
Nevis.
And I know. I'm doing a very, very slow version of the Three Peaks with a couple of friends. We've climbed Snowdon and Scafell Pike. So this is our kind of our third. But do you know what? The temperature here in Hampshire is what? It's nearly 30, isn't it? And Ben Nevis for Wednesday, the forecast is 3 degrees and rain.
Oh, that's a bit of a culture
So
shock, isn't it? I think you
I'm
might have to
trying to
find
find
your
my
workplaces for
fleeces.
that.
Yeah, my. Exactly, the dungarees and the work fleeces and everything's going to have to come out. So I think I'll be in a bit of kind of temperature shock. I'm not sure. It's a bit dangerous to climb if it's very the visibility is very poor, but I'll report back on how it goes. But I'm very excited because it means I will see ferns and moss and green things, which I feel I've not seen in a long time in our parched, dry south of England. So I'll let you know how it goes.
Well done. I will look forward to hearing about that. And good luck on doing that. Look, come and let us know in a couple of weeks when you come back. Now, before you go today, go on, give us your song for this week.
Well, my song this week was inspired by Mark and Jackie's garden. As it
All
floods
right.
in winter, I thought, let's have an octopus's garden by the Beatles
Oh, good
and just talk
choice.
about being under the sea, and we can sympathise and think about the time when the flooding happens as we sit here in our parched, baked gardens.
Okay, we'll put that song on in a couple of ticks. We'll speak to you in a couple of weeks then. Have fun.
Thank you, and thank you everyone for your questions. Happy
Bye
gardening.
bye. There you go. There's Claire, the garden editor, and she will be back in a couple of weeks' time where we will find out about her trek to Ben Nevis and some more gardening tips.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Radio.